Quick show of hands. How many of you in this room have been to an orchestra? Show your hands. Okay, my guess is that you went to the orchestra a few minutes early before the program started. And if you went to the orchestra before the program started, you probably sat down and listened to the orchestra start to tune. Now, if you think back for just a second, it's almost painful to listen to all of those different instruments doing different things when they start to tune and start to prepare themselves for the program. In fact, I was doing a little bit of research. Orchestras tune to a very specific note. It's called the A440 note. And here's something fascinating. It's the oboe that generally orchestras will use to tune off of. So I was trying to figure out why the oboe. I mean, there's lots of different instruments in an orchestra. Why this instrument? And most people think it's because this is the instrument least affected by the weather, least affected by the temperature, least affected by the humidity in the room. This instrument is constant. So this note is almost always constant. If you've ever heard an orchestra tune, it's almost painful to listen to. You know, the church is a lot like an orchestra. People come from all different walks of life, and some of them are kind of like the brass over here, and some of them are like the strings over here, and some of them are like the percussions over here. And when they're playing separately, it's almost painful to listen to. But when they start to work together, when they start to make the notes harmonize with one another, a church becomes very powerful. It's almost impossible not to stand up and to take notice when you hear all of those different instruments working together in perfect unity. Most of you are probably familiar with this famous phrase that the Three Musketeers used to have. They used to make this statement, all for one and one for all. Right? Did you know that that's how it's supposed to work in a church? Lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds come together and they're all working in union with one another. They're all working together. It's right there on the screens for you. When all of us are working for oneness, a church becomes very, very powerful with the gospel and making disciples. So what we're going to do for the next few moments is we're going to look at an incredible picture of unity in the Bible. This is in Acts chapter 4. But I want you to pay close attention to what I just said for a second, because I used the word unity. Notice, I did not say uniformity. Uniformity means we all dress the same, we all talk the same, we all act the same, we all vote the same. That's not what the Bible is describing today. That's, in my opinion, false unity. It's this shallow veneer that doesn't really represent deep heart and mind level unity. Now, the Bible is going to describe something much bigger than uniformity today. It's going to show us what it looks like when God's people start to act with unity and start to really become one. If you've got the mobile app open, if you got today's sermon, I'm going to show you some Bible math. And this Bible math doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So parents, if you teach this to your elementary children, they're probably going to get held back this year. But check this out. The way that it works in the Bible, here it is at the top of this page. One is bigger than two or 200 or 2,000. When God puts his family together, he wants oneness. He's longing and looking for unity. And today we're going to see an incredible, a powerful picture of unity. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 4. As a church, we're studying through the book of Acts. Today we're going to start in verse 32. But before we even open up to Acts 4:32, I want you to see what the Bible tells us about this one verse. Because in Acts 4:32, you see people that start to open their hearts up to one another. And when they start to open their hearts up to one another, they start to open their lives and their fortunes and everything that they own with one another. This is one of the most powerful verses in the New Testament as it describes the church. Listen to Acts chapter 4, just verse 32. Now the entire group, I need to define what that means in just a second. Now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind. And no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held, look at it, everything in common. Because they had one heart, because they had one mind, they were willing to share everything else that they had with one another. This entire group that you're reading about in the book of Acts, by the time that you get to chapter 4, you have to think about what we've already heard from this book of the Bible. We've already heard that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus's followers. They were moved with great power, and a crowd from all over the world, from different countries speaking different languages, heard the Holy Spirit impact these followers, and 5,000 believers came to faith in Christ that day. Just in this chapter alone, thousands more have come to faith in Christ. And I want you to look at the screens and listen to what the Bible is saying. At this point now, we're talking 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 Christians in one city in Jerusalem who have total unity with one another. This is a miracle. Because I've often said, hey, when your church starts to get big, like 500, 600 people, you'll often have 700 opinions in the room. And the reason why is because about 100 of you in this room have no idea what you think or what you believe. You have two or three opinions, and everybody walks in the room with their own opinions and their own ideas, and it's really, really hard to have this kind of union, this kind of unity. How is this possible, Jeff? Well, verse 32 tells you. God was doing a miracle in their midst. And that miracle was in their mind and in their heart. They started to open their heart up to one another. And all of a sudden, the guy from another country, the person that speaks a different language, started to become a whole lot more like them than unlike them. This is a powerful miracle. And the reason why they're able to share their possessions into the screen, the reason why they're able to share everything that they own with one another is because they've already opened their heart up. It's not hard now to open up my checkbook and open up my possessions and everything that I have. It's yours if you need it. I don't know. Don't go out and tweet this today because I don't know this is how it happened. The Bible doesn't tell us, but what I kind of think went on in the first century church in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 is that the believers started thinking to themselves, you know what? I'm going to die one of these days And I've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse, which means all of the stuff that I own is going to go to my children and grandchildren anyway. So I might as well just go ahead and give it away right now while I'm still alive to the family of God. I might as well just give it away today to the people that really need it instead of hoarding it all for myself and keeping it until the day that I kick the bucket and then somebody else gets it. And they started freely, generously giving away everything that they own. I contend that what you're reading from the Bible today is impossible without the Holy Spirit of the living God. Because here's why. You may not want to admit this out loud, but it's true. You and I are naturally, inherently selfish. And it is a product of sin. All of us came into this room affected by sin, and one of the things that sin does is make us naturally selfish. We want what we want. And we think about ourselves and can only sometimes think about ourselves. So John chapter 17, the longest recorded prayer that Jesus prayed in the Bible was a prayer for the unity of his church. He said, God, I'm about to leave. I'm going to go back to heaven to be with you. And God, I know these people, they're selfish people. They need your help, God, because without your help, they will not become one. They need supernatural help in order for this church to be one. Last week, I asked you to be a spiritual warrior, to engage in a spiritual battle with me. Now, today, I'm going to give you a very specific prayer request. If this is your church home, will you start to pray with me? Because for the last several months, I have been on my face before God. I feel stronger than ever in my life, a spiritual battle that's raging in this church right now. And I am absolutely convinced that Satan himself is trying to divide, listen, here's the prayer request, the leadership of this church. And there is disunion and disharmony among some of the leaders of this church. And I have been begging God, give us unity. If the Chattahoochee Valley is going to see a church, they're going to have to see a church that is united with one heart and one mind. And now I'm going to ask everybody in this room, would you pray with me that God would make us unified behind the gospel and to make disciples? That's the thing that we're united under. The church in the book of Acts opened their hearts up to each other. And when they opened their hearts up to each other, they just started to naturally notice, hey, that sister over there, she has a thing that she needs. And maybe I can meet that need. Or that guy over there, he's got a problem, and maybe I can help meet that problem. I want you to see what it says on the screens. When you start to open your heart up, then it's just natural. You're going to start to notice some needs that somebody has, which is exactly what the Bible says happens to us next in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 33. Look at this language. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them, not just on the apostles, on the entire church at this point. Verse 34, for there was not a needy person among them, because all of those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and then was distributed to each person as any had need. This is spectacular, what you're reading in the Bible. This kind of cooperation, this kind of unity, this kind of meeting each other's needs in a radical, in a very powerful way. Verse 33 uses a word that cannot be interpreted anywhere else. This is dynamite kind of power, supernatural kind of power that only can be attributed to the Lord. In other words, it's not the disciples that are doing this. In fact, the language from the Bible today is saying to us, when the church started to act like this, the people of the community were saying, it's not the apostles. It's not the messengers. It's the message that has great power. It's not the apostles, but it's the apostles' teaching that was going forward with great power, great grace. Lives are being radically changed. Because brothers and sisters who were united under the same Father started to pray for each other. They started to pray with each other. Then they started to partner with each other and started to really meet the needs of each other. That's what you're reading in this chapter at the end of chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And I can't tell you how many people have kind of hinted at, Jeff, I want so bad to be in a church like this, where people sell their land and they sell their houses and they distribute to people in need. Do you know that I have never met a person who says, I want to be the guy who sells the house? They're always the, I want to be the guy who gets something from the person who did sell their house, but I don't want to be the guy who sells my house. No, I just want to be the guy who gets something when another brother sells his house. That's what I want to be. And this church is saying, I see a need, I can meet a need, and this may require me selling the family farm. If that's what it takes, I'm going to meet somebody's need. I'm going to take care of my brothers and sisters in the faith because they're my faith family. They're closer to me than my own family. As a church, we push this a lot. It may sound like we're just pushing this down your throat. We're asking you to get plugged in and start doing life with somebody else in our church. We call this getting into a life group. And you may be thinking to yourself, why are you guys so hung up on this life group thing? Like, what's your deal? Well, the truth is that it is in life groups only that people can really realize what your needs are, start to really meet those needs. We're not going to recognize that thing in this room. But when you get people together in living rooms or in life group rooms around the campus, folks will recognize your need. They'll meet your need. They'll start to minister to you in very real, very practical ways. In fact, I'll give you this example. See this single sheet of paper up here? This sheet of paper represents the person in this room who's not connected in any real, any meaningful way to some kind of life group around here. And when life starts to get hard, and there's some pressure, and you need help, you don't have a deep relationship that you can reach out to, and so those problems just become overwhelming. But when you put one sheet of paper up against 300 or 400 more sheets of paper, and they're stacked up against each other, even 30 or 13 sheets of paper, and they're stacked up against each other, when those problems start to happen, no matter how hard you try, you can't rip that stuff because it's solid. It's part of the bigger family, part of the bigger life group, part of the bigger community of faith. A lot of you in this room may feel like that single sheet of paper, and what you need is other brothers and sisters who will come alongside you and minister to you. By the way, here's a free copy of a book if anybody wants it. You can have that thing when the service is over. Just don't come get it right now. Last thing that I want you to hear from the book of Acts. You can't miss this today because this is such a big deal that a guy's name is literally changed today. A major character from the book of Acts shows up, and his name is Joseph, but he is so encouraging to other people that the church changes his name and says, let's just refer to this guy from now on as Encourager. That's the name that we're going to give this guy. Joseph becomes Barnabas, who is a huge player in the book of Acts. Some of you out there are really smart people. You see the first letter of each of those words on the beginning of the screen? It's an acrostic. What's it spell out? The church is one in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, the church has great power because the church is united. The church is one. So much power that listen to what happens when a dude shows up on the scene by the name of Joseph. Listen to how much of an impact this guy makes. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet, and basically said, here, use this to minister, to meet needs, to take care of the church. Now, If you are wondering a little bit about this guy, we need to explain something about Barnabas because he becomes a major character from the rest of the book of Acts. First of all, the dude's name is Joseph, and he's a Levite, which may not seem like a big deal right now, but that means his job is to minister to the church. And it also means he probably didn't grow up as a believer of Jesus. He probably became a follower after Jesus' death and resurrection. The other thing that's interesting about this is he comes from this island called Cyprus, which is today off of the coast of present-day Turkey, which means he's a foreigner, and comes to Jerusalem, is introduced to Jesus, and the church welcomes him in as another instrument playing in perfect harmony with all of the other instruments. He is so radically changed by the message that he, verse 37, takes a field that he owns, sells it, gives the money to the church and says, y'all do with it whatever needs to be done with it. Take care of people with this money. Now, this is kind of interesting because if you're thinking, hey, Jeff, I've been reading the Bible lately, and in the Old Testament, doesn't it say that the Levites are not supposed to own land? How come this dude owns land if he's a Levite? Well, I don't know. I do know this, by the time that you get to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, this is a common practice, apparently, that the Levites have kind of broken the rules and already started to own land, and something, perhaps God's Holy Spirit, prompts Joseph, you know what, I'm going to sell the family farm. I'm going to sell the house that's on Cyprus, and I'm going to take the money, and I'm going to drop 100% of it in the offering plate, and I'm going to minister to people, and I'm going to meet the needs of people. I just want to encourage people. You want to know how much of an encouragement it is? The name Barnabas. Bar means son of. Nabas means encouragement. For the rest of his life, people just call him, that brother is an encourager. So much of an encourager. I like to be around him. We're just going to call him encouragement, son of encouragement. Like his daddy made him an encourager. That's how much of an encourager this guy was. It was a huge impact on the church. And Barnabas will become a major player through the rest of the book of Acts. We read about him for the first time today in Acts chapter 4. Now, what I'm inferring from the Bible today is this kind of unity, this kind of oneness can't happen by accident. In fact, Jesus says it this way, John 13, 35, when I am lifted up, when I am the center of the church, all manner of men and women from all different walks of life will be drawn to me. When I am the center of the church. When love is in the house, Toby Mac is right, the house is packed. When I'm the center and they're not unified around some other false uniformity, when they really get serious about me and serious about honoring me, it brings great strength, great power to the church. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. If you're single and isolated and walking out your faith by yourself, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, go back and read it this afternoon, says, you're vulnerable. By yourself, you can be attacked. But where there's two people, now there's strength. And then, interestingly enough, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says this, where a cord of three strands is not easily torn into, not easily ripped. What God wants is his church to be a strong, powerful witness for the gospel. And I am convinced this can't happen any other way than God's Spirit moving in the hearts of his people and reminding us we all have one Father. That makes us all brothers and sisters. And if we will get united behind our one Father, we will start to become united to one another as well. Couldn't help but do this. We live in the Chattahoochee Valley. You have the Whitewater Rapids on the Chattahoochee Valley. And I think it's the perfect example of what you're hearing in the Bible today. Because when a boat goes through the Whitewater Rapids, if everybody is pulling on the oars together, they just shoot right through those rapids. But notice what happens when you don't pull on the oars together. Notice what happens when we're not working together. Pretty soon you start to get wrapped up in the rapids of life. And if you'll pay close attention to this video, look at the oars right now. Nobody's doing any work. Everybody's just fighting the water themselves. And you can pretty much figure out about how this thing is going to go down, right? You all already know what's about to happen here, right? Look at the oars. Nobody's doing anything. We pretty much know exactly how this is going to turn out. It's probably going to end up like this right here. This is what happens when the church isn't working together, isn't pulling together, isn't working in harmony or unity. Go down to the Chattahoochee Valley, or go down to the Chattahoochee River and watch it for yourself. The boats that are working together cruise right through those rapids. The boats that don't work together will end up tossing and turning and bouncing up and down and probably end up getting flipped upside down. And the church that works together is a powerful, strong witness in its community. But let's just be honest, we're not fooling anybody. The church that doesn't work together, people recognize that too. They notice that. So today what I want to do is something that it's really not very normal for me, but I want to give you some practical steps. If you're sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, Jeff, I get it. I'm supposed to do this, just don't know how. If you look at the bottom of your worship guide, if you look at the bottom of that mobile app, I'm going to give you 5 very practical ways that you could do this. Here's way number one. Just invite somebody from our church over to your house this week just to get to know them a little bit better. This is a very small, very practical step of starting to open your heart up, Acts 4:32, with each other. Or here's a second idea. Titus chapter 2 doesn't make a recommendation. It's actually a command. Older folks are supposed to be mentoring younger folks. If you're a younger person in this room, go find somebody in this room who's a little bit older than you. I'm not going to define how old is old, but go find somebody who's been walking with Jesus a little bit farther than you and ask them, hey, would you be willing to mentor me? Or if you're one of the older folks in this room, go grab somebody and say, hey, I think I'd like to mentor you if you're up for that. And start a mentoring relationship, older folks pouring into younger folks in this church, building them up and encouraging them. Here's another idea. Look around you and look out for somebody who has something in common with you. Now pay close attention, because you have 2 or 3 or 5 things that are not the same with other people in this room. But if you're followers of Jesus, you have 500 things that are common, even though you come from different walks of life. And it's really easy to notice what's not the same between you and somebody else. But if you'll pay a little bit of attention, you can quickly realize we have a whole lot more in common than we don't have in common. So look for somebody who's maybe a little bit different than you and start to pay attention to what's similar about their heart, your heart, about their faith, your faith. Here's another idea. Find somebody this week in our church that needs some affirmation, needs to be built up a little bit, and just compliment them. And I'm not referring to me right now. You don't have to do this with me at all. Find somebody else in this room and pay a nice compliment to them and just say something nice to them. You know, saying something nice goes a long, long way with people. It makes them feel really, really good. Last idea. Ask the Holy Spirit this week, show me somebody in my church that has a need. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if he reveals that to you, shows you who the person is and what the need is, then I can almost assure you he's asking you to go meet that need. So pray a dangerous prayer. Lord, will you show me somebody in my church this week who has a need, and let me be the answer to that need. Let me meet that need. There's 50 other ways to do this, but here are 5 very practical ways to build up some unity, to create some oneness in a church. It's on your mobile app. It's in this paper worship guide, because the number one is much bigger and much more powerful in a church than 2 or 200 or 2,000. When a church has one heart and one mind, they're unstoppable for the gospel. So now here's what I want to ask you to do. Would you put what you've heard from the Bible today into practice? We call this around here, if you're new to our church, we call this taking some next steps. And what we mean by this is God didn't write a Bible just to make us smarter or to inform us. Actually, that Bible is written to change us, to influence us. And instead of letting it go one ear and out the other this week, do something with what you've heard from the Bible. Maybe you're that first person on the screen. And maybe you realize today, hey, that song that we sang just a few minutes ago that explains who Jesus is and what he did for me, I've never become part of the family of God. I'm not one with Jesus and not one with Jesus's people. And today, I need to step across the line of faith and become a Christian for the first time. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to say a prayer with you and ask you to nail this one down once and for all. Maybe you're that second person on the screen who says, hey, I've been isolated. Like that sheet of paper right there, that's me. I'm really isolated and very vulnerable right now. Jeff, I need to get connected. I've heard it enough from you. All right, I'm ready. Help me get connected to a life group in this church or around this community. Wherever it is, just help me get connected to other believers at a deeper level. And I hope for most of us in this room, you would make this commitment, like that number third thing on the screen, three things on the screen there. This week, somehow, someway, I'm going to take one of these five practical areas and I'm going to do that thing this week. Or I'm going to do something different this week just to encourage somebody in this church. Looking for nothing in return. Just encourage somebody. Basically, I'm going to be like Barnabas this week. And I'm going to do something awesome for somebody and not ask for anything in return. Would you bow your heads? Would you let me pray for us right now? And would you respond in whatever way the Holy Spirit is prompting you to respond? Not to me, not to our church. This is a response to God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for folks that are in our church right now. Maybe someone walked in the doors. I don't know this. You and you alone know this. There's no way that I can possibly know the condition of somebody else's soul. But maybe somebody came in the doors today and they have never really followed Jesus Christ, never really surrendered to him at the soul level. And today what you're calling them to do is to turn over heart and soul and future and plans, turn it all over to him. Would you cause somebody where they're sitting right now to cry out to Jesus and to pray, Father, I heard it in the songs that we sang. I don't deserve heaven. My sin has separated me from you. I understand that today. I can't be good enough, work hard enough, be religious enough to get into heaven. So right here, right now, God, you know me. You know this is real. Right here, right now, for the first time in my life, and I mean this. Lord, I am turning from my sins. I'm so sick of the way that I'm living that I'm not going to live like this anymore. And between me and you right now, God, just between me and you, I am turning to Jesus and I am surrendering everything to him. And all that I ask in return is, God, would you clean me up? Would you make me into a new person? Would you forgive me for my mistakes and help me to go from dead in sin to alive in Christ? And God, if that prayer is real, if it's sincere, would you give us as a church the privilege of figuring out who these folks are and responding and encouraging them and following up with them in whatever ways that we need to encourage them? Father, there are some people in our church that really need to get connected, and I would do this for them if I could, but I can't. So would you put on their heart right now, Holy Spirit, to go deep with three or four or five or six other Christians in this church and to start to do life together by getting into a life group? And God, would you help me to reach out and to notice somebody who needs to be encouraged this week and just practically meet a need or encourage somebody, not just me. Would you cause everybody in the church to do that this week? Would you be blessed by the way that your people take some next steps right now? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.